from Genesis 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? That is the question these visiting angels ask, which seems like a good question when it is angels sitting at your dinner table. The two people, Abraham and Sarah, have been trying to follow God in ways they don't always understand. And now they've had the mystery of an angelic visit, declaring that even though they are way too old, they are about to be parents. Far past the stage where they believed that the meaning of their life was going to manifest itself in the children they bore, the only response that makes sense to Sarah is to laugh. In fact, Sarah and Abraham name their son Isaac, which in Hebrew means laughter. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? The Lord who invites us to come to Jesus when we are weary and when we are joyful. The Lord who invites us to bring all that we are to rest on the everlasting arms of Christ. What could possibly be too wonderful for our Lord? Sarah laughed because the good news was too good to keep in, too good to have even dreamed of in the past. There's this line from Frederick Buechner about Abraham and Sarah that I love. It suddenly dawned on them that the wildest dreams they'd ever had had not been half wild enough. I think that if we allow ourselves to dream at all, we tend to dream too small. We accept the limits that the world puts on us, and we don't imagine rising beyond those limits. What is the wildest dream you've ever had for Jesus? Notice I said for Jesus, it's not about winning the lottery, unless you have some great plan, or being on American Idol. It's what's the wildest dream you ever had for Jesus? the dream that more than fills your life, dream that fulfills one of the purposes of God for God's people. Maybe the dream that you have is that the world be at peace and that you be part of it. We need you to dream that. God needs you to dream that. We need to find our place in God's dream for God's people. Maybe the dream you have is that you could make music or write poetry in a way that will inspire people to be more loving, to be more kind, to care for one another. God needs you to dream that, to open yourselves to the words that God is giving you. Maybe you dream about designing some kind of system that will make it easier to get food to hungry people, building a road, making a bridge. God needs you to dream your dream and know that you do not walk alone. Somebody said over these last few days, I can't remember where I heard it, but somebody said that it's normally not a decision between what's right and what's wrong that we struggle with, because we usually know what's right and what's wrong. The struggles we have are between what's right and what's easy. We take the less right road because it's easier. We don't speak up when we know we should, not because we're confused, but because it feels too hard. We put our dreams, even the ones we believe came from God, we put our dreams on hold because it's easier. But the right road, that's the road where we find the yoke that fits us perfectly, the road where Jesus will be sharing the load. It might look harder, but it will fit us better. So what's the dream that's too wild for you to dream unless you let yourself dream it with Jesus? What about our dreams for this church, this community, this people of faith in this place? Years ago, this congregation wrote a mission vision statement about who we believe we're called to be together as a church. Maybe you remember reading it. Maybe you remember writing it. We are a people of God, seeking to proclaim and live out the good news of Jesus Christ. We are called by God through the Holy Spirit to serve as a spiritual center for our community, nurturing spiritual growth and renewal, providing a sanctuary in a fast-paced world, reaching out and sharing Christ with all, passing on our faith to the next generation, serving God through growth of mission outreach. In the last year, I've heard people dreaming these dreams in a wilder way. That's where the digital outreach ministry team came from. People saying, let's not limit what God can do to these walls and this space. Let's start imagining how all these things that we say in our mission statement can actually expand through reaching people more often than they can come to this place, reaching more people than can travel here. I watched this week as we got the first few Facebook friends that had been invited to like us by someone else. So for those of you that don't speak Facebook, you get friends, people that like your page, and then their friends can see what you do. So already this week, in the first week, some of the things we put up have names on them that we've never heard of, have people that said, yeah, that inspires me. That makes me think about what God is doing in the world. People are willing to dream dreams bigger and wilder than we would do on our own. We're stretching, and stretching can be scary. Years ago, I went on a trip to Europe with my young adult group, It was right before I went to seminary, and we went to Oberammergau, where they do the Passion Play for 8 hours, live theater. I remember that. I remember seeing these amazing natural wonders and sitting in a cathedral in Switzerland and riding a bus in the Alps. But the thing I remember most about this trip was the conversation I had on the last night with the leader's dad. He was a retired pastor in the English Baptist Church. And I didn't know this as the trip began, but he did not think that women should be ministers. His son, however, had been one of the ones that recommended me to go to seminary. And so his son had told him, "You don't need to tell Debbie about how you feel about women in the church." Well, by the end of the week, he said, "You know, I think maybe God does things in ways that I don't understand it. And I'm willing to think that maybe God is working in the world in ways different than how I always thought." And so then he asked me to sit down with him, and he said, "Here's my blessing to you. As you go to school, I want to invite you to remember to fall on your face." I said, "Excuse me? It's a blessing?" He said, "Yes, you need to fall on your face, because the only way to avoid falling on your face is to never take a chance and stretch. You've got to be willing to stretch and to grow if you want to serve Jesus. And that means sometimes you're going to fall on your face." That is the kind of advice you get from somebody who believes that nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. Somebody who recognizes that the dreams we have are never as amazing as the dreams God has for us. Somebody who knows that we don't walk through this world alone. We walk with the yoke of Christ, leaning on the everlasting arms of God. "Come to me, all ye that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The dreams God invites us to dream, they don't have to be so heavy that we can't walk or breathe. They can fill us with laughter, with joy at the impossibility of it all, if it were not for the love of God. They can help to teach us to look beyond our own walls, our own boundaries, and imagine what God has in store for us. The working title for this sermon this week was, "What do we do when the angels show up?" Maybe we should always be prepared for the angels of God to enter unaware and let our eyes be opened to the amazing journey God has planned for us. And may we live life with souls ready to stretch as we join in asking the question, is anything too wonderful for God? In Jesus' name.